So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up.
Is a presentation of the Heart to Heart 2014 study through 1st and 2nd Peter, titled Living Hope. For more information about this ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Now let's get into the study.
Today, Lord, in the world, in our lives, in this portion of Scripture, Lord, we're so aware of the days that we live in, and we're so thankful, Lord, to be in your presence. We pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit to make yourself evident to us and help us to be aware of your presence with us. Lord, I pray, Father, for a fresh anointing in the name of Jesus, Lord, to speak your word with boldness, with confidence, Lord, that it would not be a time of fear in any way, but encouragement of the things that are to come, the things that are coming, the things that are already here. I thank you, Lord, and I am blessed to be here with these precious ladies. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so here we are finishing up the book of 2 Peter. We're getting to that place in here, and you're wondering, what in the world are we going to do after we get finished with this? So, but you know that we have other things planned. I'm wondering, if you were going to write a letter, and you knew that it was time for you to go home, to be with the Lord, what kind of things would you write? What kind of things would you write to the people that you loved? When you start out your letter with the word beloved. Here we have Peter. Remember how rough and tumble Peter was? How he's the one who cut off the ear of the guy. He's the one who was quick to say something. He was the one who was always boisterous and there, although very to the point in his words. And here we have him starting out the end of his letter with the word beloved. This man who knows what it is to walk with Jesus. This man who knows what it is to experience the love and the forgiveness of Christ. Wouldn't you start out your letter that way as well? Beloved. And I think it was started out with beloved because there's so much in it of challenge, so much in it of we got to make sure we're walking the way that we need to walk. We walk in the last days. And ladies, it's no more evident than it was last night as I sat in front of the TV and watched the news, that we are living in the last days. There are wars and rumors of wars. There are earthquakes in diverse places. And we're not just talking about the one that just happened here in Brea. We're talking about all over the world. There are volcanoes that are going off. There are whatever happened to Flight 370? You know, so much is going on in the world today, and we need to be aware of the fact that our days are numbered. Not one of us in here, no matter what our age is, knows if we have the rest of today. So we really need to make sure that our hearts are in the places that they should be in walking with Christ. And so that's basically what Peter is telling them here. He says, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. He was a key person in reminding the people of what it is to walk with the Lord, what it is to put away the false teachers. He knows that repetition is the key to learning. How many times have you read through certain books of the Bible? And you go, oh, I don't, I've already read that. I already know everything that's in there. And yet you find something new every time. You find something new every time because it is alive. It is the Word of God. It's alive, and it's well, and it strengthens your soul. And so he reminds us, by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior. So he's saying, pay attention to what is in the Old Testament, what's in the Torah, the things that you know about. Pay attention to those. Now, that's Old Testament to us. That was not as Old Testament to them, because here we have the letters that are parts of the New Testament. They were dealing with parts of the New Testament. They didn't perhaps have the whole New Testament at that time. They had the letters that would comprise the whole New Testament. But knowing this first, with all of the things that you know, keep in your mind, verse 3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days. Scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. Now, we're going to be mentioning about Noah in this. But I did go see the Noah movie. And it's an interesting story with that much truth in it. But here's the problem. False teachers will come in with that much truth, and people take it hook, line, and sinker. And so they come to a place where God is for murder. God is for these things. God didn't really do it the way that the Bible says that he did it. When I read up on Noah, the one thing that they said is, well, if we took it from the Bible, there wouldn't be any narrative till the dove came with the branch in his hand. So there wouldn't be any narrative at all. Oh, come on. So we add in this other junk that has nothing to do, has no basis for anything. Did you not even look into history? I'm not putting the guy specifically down. I'm trusting that he's not a believer and he doesn't know the Old Testament at all, and he probably never read the story. But he should have, because if he had, it could have been a much better movie. Not just with a Christian slant to it, but it could have been a much better movie with the things that actually happened. So anyway, walking according to their own lusts, walking according to their own decisions, this is what they're doing. And they're saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. It's been like this. My grandmother said it. My great-grandmother said it. My great-great-grandmother said it. Why is it always the grandmother? I don't know. But they've said it throughout the years. They've always said that this is going to happen, and that's happening. What you're saying is going to happen. And look, here we are today. We're doing great. Aren't we doing great? We are not doing great. We might look good. We might look really good. But we're not doing so great. For this, they willfully. That is a key word here. They have made up their mind to forget. They've made up their mind to forget that the word of God, the heavens, were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. It's talking about creation. It's talking about the fact that they are denying that God created the heavens and the earth. That's the first thing. And then the second thing, that they are willfully forgetting that the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. Those things were all put into this earth at the time that it was created. Do you realize that? Everything that was used at the time of the flood was already created in the world, ready for that day. Because God knows everything. God was prepared for what would happen. And so they willfully forget about the flood. Interesting issue is that every culture throughout the world has an account of a flood that happened. Every one of them, the tribes, everyone has that account. What do we attribute it to? Except that it actually happened and it was God that did it. And how did he do it? The heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God said, if I do it that time, I will do it again. God has already let us know that there will be a time of judgment. The day that we live in will not go on forever. This world is not meant to last forever. Other things that were brought up in that movie, but just, it's not even worth it, but the Lord himself will do it with fire. How will that happen? How will it happen? Will it be volcanoes? Will it be this? Will it be that? Will it be the other thing? I don't know, but I know it will be an act of God. I personally don't believe that it's going to be an atomic or a nuclear war. Here's my reasoning. This is just my opinion. I have nothing to base this on scripturally. I just want you to know that. This is just my opinion, and since I'm standing up here, I'm telling you my opinion. I believe that the destruction of the world will not be an act of man. And that would be, man had learned how to use the atomic bomb and stuff. I believe that it will be an act of God. It will be a meteor. It will be volcanoes. It will be something that there's no way to stop. And I don't know if this is the place to really put this in, but as I watched the news last night, I really got kind of, I'm excited about the last days, and yet as I heard this, I was just taken by it. As they talked about the changes, the climate changes, they weren't talking about specifically global warming. They were just talking about climate changes. They were talking about how summers are warmer, about the drought, about the ice melting, about the water in the oceans changing, all of these things. And they said it will affect the wheat and the corn specifically, and the water, not being enough water and so forth. What was missing from all of this, well, one thing they said is there is no one particular area that this is hitting. It is all around the entire world. And what they didn't add to it, which the news always adds to it, this is what you need to do to prepare. Because there's nothing we can do. It's an act of God. That's my opinion. So anyway, looking at that and thinking, our days are numbered. The days ahead of us are not as many as we thought they would be. But, beloved, verse 8, do not forget this one thing, that the Lord, with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. He does not live in time. I would love to get into this whole thing of time and the whole, you know, traveling at the speed of light. And I know I've talked to some other ladies about this, and the whole thing of, if you travel at the speed of light, one thing happens is that either time slows down dramatically or it stops completely. If you're traveling at the speed of light. Anyway, God is light. In him is no darkness at all. So he can do 1,000 years in one day, or he can condense 1,000 years into one day. And anyway, it's to him, time is not. Time is measured by the sun and the moon. And God is not measured by that. He is the creator of both of them. So one day is as 1,000 years. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, verse 9, as some count slackness, but he is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the time is running out, ladies. Our time is running out. It really is running out, even though it's been said for thousands of years. Our time is running out. We are coming to that day, and God is not willing that any should perish. So, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. To who? He will come as a thief in the night to the unbeliever, the one who has refused him. I do not believe that he would come as a thief in the night by surprise for those who believe in him. We have seen the signs. We prepare ourselves. We look for him. Are you looking for his coming? I believe personally that we are going to be out of this whole area before any of these things come down, before any of these things happen. I know, and we've talked about it before, at the rapture of the church, at that time when God just said, this is time, come on up here, come on up, and we're taken out of here. And that was the one thing that I look forward to that day. But I want to make sure that everybody's going with me. I so want to make sure, and God wants to make sure. He's not willing that any should perish. So how do I make sure that somebody else is going with me? I'm going to share with them. I'm going to take every opportunity. I'm going to leave scriptures behind. I'm going to be speaking whenever I can of the goodness of God. I'm going to be telling people my testimony. I'm going to be sharing with them in whatever way that I can, because our days are numbered. The time is short. We don't want it to come to them as a thief in the night. But as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. That's why I have the opinion it might be something like a meteor. My opinion, again. You don't have to put it in your notes. You don't have to tell anybody else you think that way. I just think that it might be that way because it's something that is totally out of our control. It makes a loud noise. Remember when the meteor hit in Russia? Remember, it was a bright light. It made a huge noise, and it created fire. So based on what I know, my little bit of information, that's what I think. Therefore, since all these things, verse 11, will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? If they're all going to be dissolved, what are you living for, ladies? What are we living for? These things that we hang on to and they mean so much to us, what are we living for? Not for things. I know none of you guys are living for things. You're living for Christ. Since all these things will dissolve, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and in godliness? What kind of people should we be? If we know these things, we know these things now. Not if we know these things. Right now, you know these things. And now you are responsible for what you know. Thank you very much. You are responsible for what you now know. And so how will you live your life? Will you live godly? And will you have that holy conduct? Will you live a moral life? Will you live for something more than just what's here? Because it is passing away. Are you looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Are you looking for and are you hastening the coming of the day of God? Are you doing whatever you can? We don't get to heaven by works, but other people might get to heaven by our works. Does that make sense? So we want to be living our lives in holy conduct and godliness. For that we can hasten the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Now, I don't like to talk about all of that stuff. I honestly do not like to talk about the coming of the end of the world. I don't think it's something that I want to spend a lot of my time on. But the fact is, those are the consequences of life here. And so I have to speak to it. And so we move on to verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for something better than the end of the world. We are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness lives. righteousness dwells, a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. That's what I'm looking for. I am looking to see him face to face. I am looking to see God, looking to see Jesus face to face. I don't have any plans about what I'm going to say to him when I get there. I don't have any plans on asking any questions of anybody. I am going to be so excited about being there, just being there in his presence. How glorious that is. How glorious it is to think of that day when I see him face to face. And I want to bring along as many people as I can. Therefore, beloved, he says again in verse 14, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent, work at it, to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Without spot and blameless. That's where the morally clean comes in. Without spot and blameless. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To be found in him in peace. Are you in him today? Do you know him? Do you know him? Are you in Christ so that you can have that place of peace? You can be in peace. Not in the midst of strife. And consider, verse 15, the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. You wonder why he's waiting. Lord, Habakkuk said, how long, O Lord, are you going to let this go on? How long, O Lord? He's going to let it go on as long as it takes. He is long suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of him. So it's long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you over in Romans 2:4. Romans 2:4 says, oh, do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance. It is the goodness of God that leads to repentance. And we need to walk in that goodness. And here we see Peter. You remember that Paul spoke to Peter about a situation in Galatia, about his insincerity with the people. And yet we have Peter here having accepted that, humbly accepting that correction and lifting up Paul before the people. Why? Because he had hurt his feelings? Because he had hurt him or whatever? No, because we work together. We keep the unity. We deal with the issues that come up, and we keep the unity, and we encourage one another, and we encourage others to do the same. And so he speaks of Paul and how he did these things. As also in all his epistles, again, he's talking about how well Paul has spoken to them. He's telling them, read Paul's letters when they come. Don't just read my letter. How many of us make a decision of, oh, I'll listen to that person, but I won't listen to that person? Does anybody else do that? Well, they're not very interesting to listen to, so I don't want to, you know, if I could listen to somebody else, maybe I could listen to somebody else. And we have that. It's not really a privilege, is it? We have those opportunities more here in America than any place else in the world to make our choices wherever we want to go and whoever we want to listen to. But he's saying, listen to this one, because he has what you need to hear, speaking in them of these things that he has just talked about, in which are some things they're hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scripture. Now, he's not talking about really about the things that are really hard to understand other than the grace of God. He's talking about the grace of God. It's hard to understand the grace of God. It's hard to understand how God would forgive me. It's hard for us to do that. But other people who were unlearned and unstable people, they take those scriptures and they make the law your way to salvation. They make your works the way to salvation. They make baptism the way to salvation. Anything to keep from staying with the word and saying, Jesus is your way to salvation. Repentance is the way to salvation. There is only one way to salvation, and that is confessing our sins, asking Jesus Christ to come and dwell in our hearts, and allowing him to lead our lives. That's the only way that we have that kind of salvation. And there were those who were destroying, trying to destroy people's lives who will bear the punishment that goes with leading someone else astray. Not only your own punishment, but the punishment for leading someone else astray. So we've talked about that. I want to be careful about what I share in front of you guys. And when I say it's my opinion, it's just my opinion. I don't want you to go on anything that sounds like it's not biblical. And if you want to talk to me about my opinion, that we could talk about that too. So you therefore, verse 17, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. You have been told beforehand. We are without excuse, ladies. We are totally without excuse. Oh, I didn't know. Yes, we did. We have all been taught well by a number of teachers, and we know the truth. And we are without excuse. Since you know this beforehand, beware, be prepared, pay attention, look at your surroundings, be prepared. This has been the message to the morning group more than the evening group. I don't know why, but that word being prepared, those two words, being prepared, has just really been mostly for you guys. I don't know. I don't know what God's saying, but be prepared. Whatever he's telling you, be prepared for your own steadfast. Lead it. Don't be led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in grace. Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are to grow in grace. Grace is the practical demonstration of the fruit of the Spirit. Grace is the practical demonstration of the fruit of the Spirit. Growth in grace is not increased head knowledge or tireless activity. It is increasing likeness to the Lord Jesus. Growth in grace is not increased head knowledge or tireless activity. It is increasing likeness to the Lord Jesus. Are we becoming more like him? Are we becoming more like him? And the knowledge means acquaintance with the Lord through the Word, through the Word. Growth in knowledge means increasing study of and subjection to his words, his works, and his ways. Growth in knowledge means increasing study of and subjection to his words, his works, and his ways. And so then we come to the end of this, and he tells us that we're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and that's the words of encouragement that he has. But here's what the whole letter has been about. Here's what the two letters have been about as he closes it off. He says, to him be the glory both now and forever. To him be the glory both now and forever. To him be the glory. Great things he has done. God will get the glory. He will get the glory. I want to give him the glory. I don't want to hold any of it for myself. And so here we are at the end of two letters. Two short letters, two very to-the-point letters. What are we going to do with what we've learned? What will we take home with us that we can use today from these two letters? I'm telling you, next week, be prepared. be prepared, because we're going to go over this whole thing and we're going to look at what God has said to us throughout these two letters. So do not miss next week. Invite your friends that you, we haven't been the whole time. Oh, come and see the wrap up, okay? You know, invite them to come and see it. So, Lord, I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you, God, for your ministry, for the way that you have ministered through your word, Lord. We are thankful that we live in the nation that we live in, with all of the challenges that are always there, always something to complain about, Lord, isn't there? Always something to complain about. I thank you, Lord, that we live in a country where we are still free to speak, where we are still free to share with other people. Help us to never take that for granted, Lord, and to use it to the best of our ability, Lord, that we can hasten the day of your coming. And Lord, we look to your coming for us, and we say together, Lord, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Use us in whatever way you can to hasten that day. We thank you, Lord. We pray for our nation. Father, we pray for our leaders to come to repentance. We pray for those who have once given their lives to Christ, to you, who have walked away from you, Lord. Wake them up. Please wake them up. Cause them to turn around and walk in your ways. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
So wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up, all believers, take up your cross and carry it on.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.